This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's podcast is all about vitamin C versus the coronavirus. Yeah, there's been a lot of research on the coronavirus and natural treatments for coronavirus, and among the most spectacular and well-publicized is the effort to include vitamin C in the regimen of patients who are in trouble with COVID-19. And today we're going to reprise one of my favorite guests. She's a great colleague who I have worked with over many years, and she's been a frequent contributor here on Intelligent Medicine. She's an expert on vitamin C and a wide variety of subjects. She's Dr. Jeannie Drisco. She's founder and director, a former director of KU Integrative Medicine. That's Kansas University Medical School Integrative Medicine, one of the premier integrative medicine study groups within conventional medical schools. It's really sort of a precedent-setting thing, is that they set up an integrative medicine program at Kansas University Medical School. She's now professor emeritus there, and she's continuing with education and research on the subject of integrative medicine. She's also past president of the American College for Advancement in Medicine, an office which I also held. So it's a pleasure having you back on, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Ron. Very, very glad to be here and talking about one of our favorite subjects.
Indeed. But before we get to that, I want to congratulate you because I just received my copy of a textbook, a very authoritative textbook on integrative medicine entitled Integrative and Functional Medical Nutritional Therapy, which is co-edited by you along with Diane Noland, who's also been a guest here on Intelligent Medicine. And I'm pleased to say I was invited to write a chapter on gastrointestinal health in there. And the book is beautiful. It's an amazing book. This book could keep you healthy throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. And you don't even have to read it to stay healthy because I can't go to the gym. I'm locked out of my gym. And just picking up the book and doing biceps curls with it has kept me in magnificent shape. It's got to weigh all of about like 8 or 10 pounds. It's an amazing book.
It's obviously, we had over 50 authors.
Yeah.
So there's lots of material.
A lot of material. You know, and I have to say that if this lockdown continues, I might be able to read the entire book because I'll have absolutely nothing else to do for the next few weeks. And I'm going to be incredibly intelligent if I read the entire book. But you know what I'd like to ask is, is it available in a chip version, which can be placed directly into your brain so that it, you can download all the information? That would be very convenient.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many wonderful things in it. Skin issues that can be helped with integrative medicine. And GI issues that our wonderful Dr. Hoffman wrote. So that there is an ebook if you do.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yes. That would actually be very convenient. I think I'm going to get the ebook because the ebook, you know, you can probably search it by search terms and you can jump from chapter to chapter. And it's also the kind of thing that a student of integrative medicine might want to have, you know, a naturopathic student or a med student or a chiropractic student or perhaps an aspiring health coach, someone in the integrative fields. Because it's just a wonderful, wonderful reference. And, you know, rather than carrying a backpack with the thing in it, it's nice to have a home version of it because I could just keep it on my desk. And if I, you know, somebody poses a question to me and stumps me, I can just look it up here in the book. But, an e-version would be really nice. So, just give us the information about it. Is there a way to get a hold? It's from Humana Press, correct?
It's actually published by Springer, and Humana Press is a division of Springer. So it was picked up by Springer early, even before we'd written it, and they were very excited about the content. It can be purchased at Amazon or on the Springer website.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Springer, of course, has a reputation as the go-to place for functional and integrative medicine. They're a great publishing company, and they really invested in supporting integrative medicine and the science of integrative medicine, the really well-researched aspect of that. So good stuff. Anyway, just to, you know, to come to our main topic, Jeannie, I've gotten so many questions, you know, on social media and questions to me directly from patients and listeners who say, what about intravenous vitamin C? What are they saying about intravenous vitamin C in relationship to the coronavirus? And I have in front of me, I think you're very familiar with this, it's an article by Jerome Byrne. I don't know him personally, maybe you do. The headline is it ethical to keep ignoring the potential of vitamin C to fight the coronavirus? And I've seen many such articles, but so what's going on? I mean, are they actually using intravenous vitamin C, not just oral vitamin C? We can actually talk about the distinctions, but, you know, give us the lay of the land on this.
Well, you know, it was interesting in last year, late 2019, when the coronavirus broke in China, my colleague, the one I work closest with at KU doing our vitamin C research, Dr. Kay Chin, was called by several of the researchers in China, one in Shanghai and one in Wuhan and another province, and they all asked her to send our protocol to them. What was interesting is that the Wuhan group changed the protocol, even though we advised them that it was likely not to be as helpful. And I'll tell you why that is. In terms of why it might not be helpful, you need to give a high dose of vitamin C in the vein to get a peak blood level, because if you don't do that, you will not make hydrogen peroxide in the space around the cells. So that's really critical. So the people in the researchers in Wuhan were giving just 4 grams of vitamin C in the vein. Over
4,000 milligrams, you know, for our listening
yes,
audience.
I mean, like nothing.
That's like, you know, you get take an ester C, or that's 500 or 550 milligrams of vitamin C. That's half a gram. And so, however, you know, I do have these articles in front of me which say, oh my goodness, in New York, right here, where we are in New York, you know, the epicenter of this, it says, this is from, I think, the New York Post. They're giving astronomical levels of vitamin C to people in the intensive care unit. They receive, are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? 1,500 milligrams of intravenous vitamin C. And then it's readministered 3 or 4 times a day. They say, oh my goodness, this is more than 16 times the National Institutes of Health's daily recommended dietary allowance of vitamin C, which is just 90 milligrams for adult men and 75 milligrams for adult women. So there's this is like a real radical treatment. Oh my goodness, 1,500.
It's like taking a squirt gun to a raging fire.
Yeah.
the building's burning down and you've got a squirt gun. And the problem was the doctors in New York copied the Wuhan doctor's protocol. Mm-hmm. So they thought that this small dose of vitamin C would be helpful. And it's probably not going to be that helpful. When we had a phone call with Dr. Peng, the main Zoom call, actually, Dr. Peng, the main researcher in Wuhan, and he stated that the amount of vitamin C that they gave did not significantly reduce mortality. Mm-hmm. And we weren't surprised about that. We tried to contact him and tell him to change, but it was too late. So anyway, they did find that they were able to get the patients out of the ICU quicker, and some of the inflammatory markers fell. But in terms of mortality, it wasn't significant.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line, available at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, several stand out, which help support positive mood and relaxation. GABA, 5-HTP, SAMe, L-tryptophan, and Mucuna extract. With current economic and living conditions causing widespread sadness and tension, these neurotransmitters and their precursors can help support positive mood and relaxation. That's according to numerous clinical studies. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Jeannie Drisco. You know, I think what occurs to me, is, and it's certainly you're well aware of this, is that vitamin C may act at different levels depending on how much you give. And, you know, certainly it's not good to, you know, eat a standard American diet, just junk food, you know, maybe eat, some sort of... fast food that's bereft of fruits and vegetables, and then you develop, in effect, scurvy, and and you're especially prone to this if you're diabetic. So we have like kind of the perfect storm: patients with diabetes or prediabetes, and they're eating junk food. And actually, there have been some cases of scurvy documented in American hospitals in very sick patients, and they say, "Oh my goodness, it's like this ancient disease is coming back." Well, it's probably far more prevalent than they. I mean, they're not really looking for it, but you know, patients who are sick have bleeding gums; they don't heal well. Okay, you know, maybe they're going to actually check a vitamin C. But I got to tell you, during my residency, my medical training in the 1980s, I don't think we checked a single patient ever for vitamin C levels. We just didn't pay attention to that.
No.
Never. I mean, never. So who knows how many were vitamin C deficient? So at that level, there's, you know, correcting a deficiency is always going to help. And you could probably do that by taking, a few oral vitamin C pills. And if a patient can't take oral stuff, you know, if they're very sick, throw a little in the IV. You know, that's going to help. There's a study I've got here from another guy you're probably familiar with, Dr. Harry Hamila from the University of Helsinki. And he did looking at eight studies and a meta-analysis, he found that vitamin C may reduce ventilation time in critically ill patients. They got them off the ventilator faster. They had shorter hospital stays. The dosage was 1 to 6 grams per day of vitamin C. That's not as much as you'd like, but it did help the patients a bit.
You know, it was interesting in Shanghai, when the Chinese doctors there used a higher dose of vitamin C, they had remarkable improvements. and they were giving 10,000 milligrams or 10 grams to moderately sick patients, the ones that weren't in the ICU, and they gave 20,000 milligrams or 20 grams to those in the ICU, and they showed that their patients survived and got out of the ICU very quickly.
You know, I'll share a little anecdote with you, is that way back when, this is, must have been in the 1990s, I visited a German doctor, a female doctor in, I think it was in Frankfurt. And, you know, I just looked her up. I hadn't met her before. I said, you know, let's get acquainted. I want to see what you're doing and maybe share what I'm doing. And I came to her office and she said, you know, excuse me, I have a cold. And so I'm going to give myself some vitamin C. So I saw her take out a vial of vitamin C and she pulled out 1,000 milligrams, 1 gram of vitamin C, and she put it into a syringe and she administered it. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you have a cold and you're going to give yourself 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I said, where's the vial of vitamin C? You should be giving yourself 25,000. And she looked at me like she was horrified. She said, oh my goodness, you can do that? And I said, yeah, I do that. I mean, I must have done this 1,000 times in my practice in New York City. That's what we do when patients come in with respiratory infections. We give them 20 or 25 or 30, you know, depending on their age, their kidney function, their state of health. You know, we can give them up to 50 or 75, you know, if they have cancer, or perhaps even 100 if they're, you know, have good kidney function. And she looked astonished. She said, she looked kind of scared. And I said, do it. And so, you know, we pulled up, you know, 25,000. Which is 25 times more than she thought she could tolerate. And we gave it to her. And, you know, next day I got an email from her saying, hey, that knocked my cold right out. But there's a bit of a knowledge gap. And I think conventional doctors are frightened of vitamin C.
They are frightened. The party line is it's going to knock your kidneys out. It's going to completely stop kidney function. And I think we're trying to get a protocol approved for COVID-19, what I understand is that acute renal failure is part of the picture of COVID.
And that's a concern, right? Because
it is a concern.
You know, if you have patients who have diminished kidney function and you overload their kidneys, I mean, some of these patients literally have to go on dialysis because of COVID-19, forget the vitamin C. So those are not patients we want to load. You know, plus a lot of patients have plenty of fluid in their lungs. They're drowning in fluid. So we have to be careful with the vitamin C because the vitamin C comes with a big dollop of sodium. So I guess there are some concerns in the sicker patients.
So we're proposing to try our protocol in patients that are moderately ill, those ones that show up in the ER or in the hospital on the COVID ward, but not ventilator dependent, ICU bound.
Yeah, and that's the right place to be. I mean, I'll tell you, 100%. If I were to come down with it, you know, the problem is it's hard to find a place that will administer vitamin C because it's going to be in an outpatient basis. You won't get it in a hospital. You'll have to get it from a holistic doctor's office. My office currently is closed. Maybe there are some holistic doctor's offices where, you know, the brave staff come in there and, you know, with proper precautions, take care of patients who have COVID-19. But, you know, because it's an outpatient therapy, they're probably few and far between places to get it. But, you know, I would source it. I could administer it home, you know, and keep myself in isolation and quarantine. You know, that would be my go-to as soon as I, you know, felt like I was coming down with, you know, the shortness of breath, you know, the fevers, the body aches, and the exhaustion. That would be the time to administer before you go down that slippery slide to cytokine storm and, you know, getting on a ventilator.
So wouldn't it be great if we could study this and prove that it's effective in the early stages? And it would be something you would get in the emergency room.
Are you cooking that up as a potential research protocol?
We are. But, you know, again, we have to get by the conventional people that think that this is just a silly therapy.
Yeah. So for a long time, I have suspected that vitamin C at these high doses is not just supporting your immune system, because clearly, you know, if you give a gram or two of vitamin C, you're going to enhance your immune system's ability to cope with the virus. That's one thing. But then if you take it and you amplify the concentration of vitamin C by 10 or 20 fold with intravenous vitamin C, which is far more than you can take by mouth and really concentrate it in your bloodstream, just as with cancer cells, do viruses actually get zapped by vitamin C in some way? Does it have a direct antiviral effect?
We believe that it does. We haven't proven it yet, and that's part of our study proposal, is we want to prove that it has an direct antiviral effect. We think it's probably through the hydrogen peroxide production in that space around the cells, because that's how our white cells kill bacteria and viruses.
With what's called oxidative peroxidative burst, right? That's literally they unleash hydrogen peroxide on pathogens, bacteria and viruses and fungi, right?
And it doesn't harm normal cells. That's the beauty of it. It's safe.
Mm-hmm. Because of some reaction that actually helps to mop up the hydrogen peroxide. What is that reaction?
So catalase is one of them. Mm-hmm. And most of the normal cells have robust catalase activity, so they can just, as you said, mop it up, clean it up, get rid of it.
Right, right. And, you know, for a long time, we've known that hydrogen peroxide is an ideal disinfectant. It stings a little bit, but if you have a wound and, you know, it's dirty and you want to clean it out, and, or, you know, perhaps there's some pus forming around an external wound, it's not a bad idea to dab some hydrogen peroxide on it. So, you know, taking ozone therapy or hydrogen peroxide therapy, that's a whole new, you know, whole different realm. They're advocates of that. But one of the ways to generate hydrogen peroxide within the body is with something safe and well tolerated, which is vitamin C, right?
Right. And I would caution people that are listening not to drink hydrogen peroxide to try and get it to kill the virus.
Or because inhale that can it. There's protocols for, you know, nebulized hydrogen peroxide is, maybe under very controlled circumstances, but that has the potential to really scald the lungs and damage them.
And absolutely. So kids, don't try this at home.
Okay. Thank you for that precaution. We appreciate it. So, all right. So the Chinese, are they actually doing trials?
Because
I was hopeful.
Yes.
I said, you know, there's all these trials under maybe hundreds and hundreds of human trials, because this is all fast track. This kind of emergency fast tracking of potential therapies, from hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin to remdesivir to convalescent serum. I mean, they're trying all these things that ordinarily it might take months and years perhaps to get them trialed. This is an emergency, so they're fast-tracking all these things. In China, I did see that they have registered some trials for intravenous vitamin C.
That was the Wuhan trial is probably the most known. It's on clinicaltrials.gov website.
Mm-hmm.
And that trial, he wanted to enroll hundreds and hundreds of patients. But in actuality, what he ended up doing, he needed to stop the trial because they ran out of patients. There's nobody in the ICU anymore in Wuhan, which is a very good thing for them. But he was really trying to get some of us around the world to pick up his protocol and run with it. But we were not interested. It was too low dose and too slow infusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, there are trials. That's correct.
So they, in effect, were victims of their own success because they have fewer patients to try it on. But here we have an ample supply, hot and cold running patients that we could try it on. But, you know, for each patient that is, you know, 4+ sick in one of these hospitals, you know, whether it be in Newark or New York City or Detroit or Chicago or, you know, wherever they are dispersed across the country, there's probably dozens of doctors and professors hovering over them waiting to trial their latest hobby horse, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so correct.
It's a lot of competition, and some of the aggressive competition is coming from drug companies, right? That want it.
Absolutely. And they are throwing millions and millions of dollars at this because they want their antiviral or their vaccine or whatever it is that the pharmaceutical companies want to use, try, whatever. They're out there on, you know, they're number one. they can get into the hospitals yesterday.
Yeah, they have a real pipeline into fast-tracking the research. All right, so let's pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. We sort of lay the groundwork for a discussion of vitamin C against COVID-19. We're talking to Dr. Jeannie Drisco. Jeannie, a recent co-author, co-editor of Integrated and Functional Medical Nutrition Therapy. It's going to really, I think, be the definitive textbook of integrative medicine. It's a big book. It's available through Springer, and also she is the former director of Kansas University Integrative Medicine, and now Professor Emeritus, continuing her research with a focus on the benefits of intravenous vitamin C, and we'll tackle that issue in greater depth when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.